Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called White Galactic Wind, and it is the eighth day of the Blue Eagle Wave Spell. And we are now in the solar moon, day five. And it is also Wednesday, and that would be March 11th. I somehow feel like threading the Gregorian date in helps because we're jumping around, still reverberating from leap day. For me, it's just, I do a lot of math based on these counts. So it's just making accommodation for the fact that we skipped a day or added a day, you know, inserted a day, and things are falling back into rhythm after that slight disjointedness, which is the least of our problems. So I think it's time to have a episode where we ascertain through natural time best as I can, not perfectionistically, what the hell is going on, like how to mitigate or understand the anxiety that is overtaking much of the globe and the physical malady that's connected to that or the origination point, how to weave that into natural time diagnostics, how to use Mayan astrology to show some connection between what's happening on the planet, as it were, and here in the Zolk'in and 13 moon rhythms. Now, I haven't really pre-planned that, but that seems like kind of a blue eagle instinct to get a sort of analytical, big picture viewpoint, perspective, be in our heads a bit. And I want to talk about personal suffering. I don't really have any exactly right now. I think my last podcast had some oversharing. Like, there was just some critical hardship, and I did an incomplete way of connecting it to my so-called mother issues, because my mother is a blue solar eagle, and here we are on the solar moon and the blue eagle wave spell, and that conjunction has been really hard for me. And so I don't need to get back into that, probably, maybe. But it's just, I have my whole personal angle of re-experiencing what it was like to be, really syncopated with her through my upbringing, because the intensity of the Mayan astrological connection right now to her is very much like being rewoven in some kind of domestic upbringing situation, and I don't like it. But having identified that I don't like it and been reborn on my Mayan birthday, I'm feeling a little more easeful and in surrender. And I want to remind people, your Mayan birthday arises, and my perspective, informed perspective, is that it's often very difficult grinding through the last days to our Mayan birthday, our return home to ourselves in the Zolk'in. And then we're reborn, and there's freedom and autonomy. So we were kind of like tightly tamped down in a in utero experience. That's the metaphor. And then we're reborn through our day. And then there's this kind of relief, spaciousness. adjustment to being on planet Earth again after a journey deep within to discover, you know, our spiritual, like where we're from, and coming through that portal once more. And then I just think things normalize, or there's kind of like the, wee, I did it. I was reborn. So that's what's going on for me. And then the Blue Eagle time, I've been sort of checking it out. One thing I want to reflect back, because today is White Galactic Wind, so it's a reference point back to the last wave spell before this one, which was White Wind, and we're weaving, integrating the White Wind wave spell into this one, kind of putting it to rest, finalizing our relationship with it, our passage through kind of a 40-day window of White Wind that started at White Resonant Wind, then touched on White Magnetic Wind to start the White Wind wave spell, and now White Galactic Wind. We are in the salutation, turning away from our karma with White Wind. It was a really successful White Wind time, and one of the things that I thought was really beautiful was that it felt like a powerful examination of where masculine divinity is with the shadow energy of that patriarchal role we assign to God, that, you know, the westernized Godhead is a man, an old man, an old dad, an old grandpa. And I just did not feel that the White Wind wave spell was interfered with that overlay. I felt like it was really pretty clean and pure, and that maybe some of the work we've been doing culturally to chip away at the patriarchy, specifically through the accountability of calling out male predators, and we've done that for several years, and we've also been reacquainted with it in the form of the American president. So it felt like the White Wind wave spell separated itself from that hideousness, active patriarchal predation, power mongering, and that White Wind was just a time of spirit communication and kind of the powerful part of divinity, that a man can be absent, the masculine part of ourselves can disappear, but in order to protect and serve. And that the cool thing about the White Wind wave spell, I was thinking about this today, it's like people were speaking very freely, and there's a lot of truth identification that comes in the White Wind wave spell. I mean, today's galactic, and we're referring back to that wave spell, so it feels important to say, like, I learned some really important truths in the White Wind wave spell that came directly from my sense of God. Some of them were spoken through other people, but it was, I had some very pure me and God communiques that were unforgettable in that time. And also the men or man, maybe it was a man, that I was around in that window was really communicative. And that went away when the White Wind wave spell ended. And that's what I've been, part of what I've been grieving a little bit in the hardship of Blue Eagle. It's just like, well, dang, I just remember how nice it is when an actual man, or it could be the masculine aspect of any of us, is really talking and saying, this is where I'm at, and doesn't have that that guard up or that resistance to just being open and verbal and expressive. So that was cool, because White Wind, can be really, I think, painful. It can feel like, again, oh, here we go with the patriarchal Godhead that wants to snuff out all the female goddess energy. Because that's what we're really driven to in westernized religion. Okay, so I'm come a long way from where I said I would start. I was talking about hardship and hysteria and the big picture, which Blue Eagle provides, and being in our head and seeing things from above and not necessarily being in touch with what our bodies are going through. The way I want to kind of insert the coronavirus hysteria, more than the actual epidemic, is to suggest that the eagle is the power animal of the United States. So as we move through the Blue Eagle time, it's kind of like a totem for this country that, you know, puts the eagle on all its emblems. It's totem. And so we're trying, kind of living through a wave spell that's checking in with the good old US of A and how's it doing? Well, it's falling apart. You know, it already has been, or there's been this divisiveness, this crack that's split us seismically in half. But now it's sort of more of a crumbling, whether you look at the economy or this sort of despair, brewing despair over, you know, how to curtail physical suffering, and especially in the aged and infirm. It's almost like, okay, well, we're dealing with population control through natural disease and hitting everyone's fear and resistance to that, you know, age-old planetary purposefulness for, you know, how to deal with having too many residents here. So all of this heady, clinical, sometimes scientific, sometimes, you know, this cloaking of scientific truths with propaganda, all of that is just stirring and in foment, and it's so American. So we're in this epicenter of American dynamics in the Blue Eagle time, and it's uncomfortable. And then also, like I said, I think Blue Eagle isn't very communicative. Like, now I'm sort of missing White Wind, which felt like a kind of empty, absent time, but it turns out people were using their inhalations to express themselves. And in Blue Eagle, I think that there is a lot more watchfulness, scrutinizing, taking in visionary insight, but it's all sort of in the, you know, it's not verbal, it's what of our senses, it's sight, not speaking. I mean, it's not something we're verbalizing, it's something we're gazing upon, and there's quietude to that. And it feels like suppression, because in the analysis of taking in something by looking at it, no one's talking about what they're seeing in this window of Blue Eagle. I mean, that's all kind of heady in itself. I apologize. That's the weight of the wave spell. So I hope that you can understand that sometimes we just hit stretches in the Zolk'in, and it'll affect different people in different ways. But in case you relate to how it feels sort of clinical and voyeuristic and detached and dispassionate to be in Blue Eagle, then I agree, and I think it's pretty typical of this time. And so what is soft and fuzzy and warm about the Blue Eagle time? Like, where can we lean in and find any kind of nurturance that we might be needing, or body-centeredness? What I can say is that when these wave spells feel out of balance to us, it's very important to reach towards, you know, directly or in some lyrical way, the antipode, because if we reach to the opposite, then we create balance. The opposite of Blue Eagle is famous. It's Red Serpent. It's famous because the two of them synthesized in balance create Quetzalcoatl, and that's more, I think, Aztec version of the plume serpent, but we could just take that as a very important Mexican, original indigenous Mexican godhead. And the plume serpent then is the synthesis of flight and the strength and suppleness of a snake that lives directly on the surface of the earth. So it's the fusion of heaven and earth in one you know, angelic monster. And we need, I think, to serve ourselves if we're stuck in our heads right now or overanalyzing or being too watchful and distant and removed. We need to drop into the Red Serpent archetype. And one of the ways it's really obviously, again, in terms of totems or signs and symbols, like the serpent is the symbol for medicine. Coiled serpents represent Western medicine or the art of medicine, the science of medicine, the salvation of medicine, the cure. And so, I mean, I don't know how you do that personally, but it's a great metaphor. And it also means that we are in the blue eagle time, kind of lifted off, removed at a different polar extreme than basically attending medicinally, scientifically, and also in a soothing recovery sense to our wounds, to our injuries, to our illnesses. So maybe in this upcoming Red Spectral Serpent Day, see, Wednesday is galactic and Thursday is solar, Friday is planetary, so Saturday will be Red Spectral Serpent. Doesn't mean that they're going to come up with a cure for coronavirus and administer it to everyone, but I think we drop into our bodies and kind of wake up from this super, like, planning, future tripping, chaotic version interpretation of how things are going terribly wrong. Like, they terribly are wrong, but when we drop into our bodies or we get grounded, sometimes we can take better action than just thinking ourselves into a fit of anxiety, further anxiety. So I'm watching for that. Let me sort of dial us into the solar moon, and then I'm going to walk us through the coming days of individual astrology so that we have some footholds that get us to Red Spectral Serpent on Saturday. You know, day by day, there's a lot to manage, to mitigate. Before I do that, I also, this is me jumping around, you know, Mercury is going direct as I speak, you know, kind of as we sleep, entering the daylight of this White Galactic Wind Day, also called Wednesday, March 11th, then we are in the shadow phase, finishing out. Some of us have this sensitivity to Mercury retrograde, and it's sort of a longer, broader passage, but I'm going to let most of us graduate from the retrograde. You know, that's sort of what's prescribed, that it ends on March 10th, yesterday, and now we enter it going direct. And it has really been a doozy in terms of this exit portal, you know, the last 5 days, really churned with miscommunication, things breaking, like try to find an internet signal wherever you're going. Then there's just like the cacophony that exists in the world. The world is in conflict. It'll be interesting to see where coronavirus lands when the retrograde is over, because I'm not in any way suggesting that it'll just be gone. It was just a retrograde item, but it really did roll through in this retrograde window. And retrograde has a purpose to review past karma and sort of resolve it. And things that start in retrograde usually stay in retrograde and sort of stop having the same potency or focus when we get out of retrograde. So that's why it's hard to fall in love in retrograde. It's also hard to stop a love relationship that pre-exists retrograde in a retrograde, unless you want to chip away at it. You know, we have retrogrades every 3 months or so, and I think they're like, it's like leapfrog. Like, you could go from retrograde period to retrograde, Mercury retrograde passages, and, you know, slowly separate from your partner. Like, each retrograde you get a step closer, but generally people can't effectively end things if they decide within a retrograde to do so. And then that's not true as well. Like, you know, retrograde is also a time for things to finally fall apart, but usually it suggests things that have been building or deconstructing over time, and it's the finishing touches. Like, you can't, in terms of a metaphor, you know, knock over a building in the retrograde that's well constructed, but you could, like, take off the top floor and then the next retrograde knock another couple off. That would be one way. Or you could knock over something that was decrepit and, you know, needed to be reduced to rubble. So I don't, that's sort of wandering around. And again, I'm podcasting from this clumsy, awkward communication moment when things are finally going direct, but haven't yet. And so I'm not sure I'm speaking clearly my mind. But the retrograde has been part of the hardship. You know, when I started podcasting Natural Time, I wanted to spend a segment every episode going, okay, here's why it's hard. But, you know, I found that I healed so much doing these podcasts that my life doesn't demonstrate or represent hardship all the time. You know, I'm a beacon for the shadow we all share or individually experience, and that's dissipating. Like, I get a lot more light, and partly because I'm so woven to these cycles and now in a sort of verbalized format again. So I have a lot of joy to express when I talk about Mayan synchronicities, but it can get really hard. And then I want to offer the insight through what in these calendar rhythms we're passing through. Are we finding things demanding? So to review, to just to recap so far, I think the blue eagle wave spell is, you know, I'm sort of joking, but not really, the spirit animal of the United States of America. And when we pass through blue eagle, we have to examine the state of the karma of this country. And I kind of jokingly called the coronavirus like the crown chakra ailment. So, you know, people that universally, you know, if we're losing touch with our connection to our to the heavens, to our sense of creator or what have you, the angelic field, then something about what's happening is taking away all our toys and isolating us. You know, we don't get to be so spendy. We can't really be workaholics. We have to rest. We have to, you know, be reflective. We have to be careful. We have to be ritualistic in terms of how we wash our hands and where we go and consciousness and being present to what is. And all of that takes us out of the decade plus, you know, the turn on and the tune out that has been described by the internet age, where I'm including myself, you know, just like massive information, and we can see whatever we want and have all this perceived control over what we expose ourselves to because it's all there on the screen in front of us, to, you know, living in a very out of control, exposed kind of life experience now. So that's Blue Eagle, I think, showing this bigger picture and also touching in again to the karma of our country, of our citizens, of our form of patriotism, our tribalism, and all that's buried in this earth that, you know, we represent as the United States. There's stuff that's untangling, unraveling, very retrograde, trying to resolve. And maybe through death, or maybe just through coming together, resisting death. The end. I don't know the future. This is not where I would want to take this discourse. The other recap is that Blue Eagle isn't as expressive, that it's watchful and voyeuristic and has a certain kind of silence or solitude that can make it hard to feel comforted, and that we can reach towards embodiment represented by Red Serpent's litheness, its closeness, proximity to the earth. We'll get there in this wave spell when the wave breaks on Saturday, but you can put your attention on it now. That means, like, I don't know, having sex would be great.